broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Wow. All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 2nd in the year of our Lord 2020. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we follow the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe in the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers and one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Oh, we love it, ladies and gentlemen. God, family, and country. Protecting life, liberty, and property. It's a quest for us. It's an effort. It's a lot of hard work to get there. But we believe those are the answers to restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. Consequently, we reject revolution. Boy, howdy, is that statement relevant now, huh? We embrace peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of yesterday's show. Yesterday's show and today's show will be strikingly similar in discussion points, but a lot more detail coming out. We had our guest on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about warrantless surveillance battles in Congress. We talked about sickness is the health of the state. David Stockman wrote an incredible article. We talked about, quote, SmackDown, homeschool park patriots versus, I guess, these Clark County, let's see, Brazoria County park closures. Daniel McAdams wrote that piece. He says, in this period of the coronavirus and the naked power grabs by authoritarian politicians at all levels of government, if there's any hope to claw back some of the liberties lost, it's going to happen from the bottom up, he says. Amen. The science behind social distancing, we learned a little bit about that. Believe it or not, today's social distancing guidelines apparently began and originated with a computer model created by a 15-year-old Albuquerque, New Mexico high school student named Laura Glass. Now, Glass, along with her dad, Robert Glass, he was a government scientist. He helped her cook up the home-brewed computer model for a science and engineering fair back in 2006. According to a variety of medical experts, though, herd immunity should be the primary tool to fight off viral infections, and only the sick and elderly should even be considered to be quarantined. But the CDC, believe it or not, made social distancing, based on her model, official policy back in 2007. They call it, quote, non-pharmaceutical intervention, NPI. And it's the first time it's been implemented in America, literally 13 years later, but of course it will not be the last. They've found the magic bullet to destroy liberty on the altar of security and safety, haven't they? Are you sure about the whole truth? An incredible article written by Paul Hein. A great, great article about telling nothing but the truth in court. Very interesting. Hour two, we had our next guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. And we talked about, can we expect a long, hot summer of violence and riots? That was my question on Friday, believe it or not, before all this broke out. I asked the question again yesterday. I asked the question again today. Violence in the land. Videos show nationwide chaos. Thousands of additional National Guard troops deployed. WorldNet Daily with that piece. Wow. NYPD appear to flee in cars while rioters rush in to attack. Similar scenes were repeated in Portland and other places. Why are the cops fleeing? I find whenever it goes off the rails, the cops are either idly standing by, completely not there, or hard hitting in your face, belligerent. Sometimes as bad as the violent criminals themselves. Trump tweets, quote, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. A sad reference to the 60s, in my opinion, a very ill-placed statement to make. I understand you have the right to defend your property, But I would encourage a de-escalation rather than a ratchet up statement, in my opinion. President Donald Trump criticized George Floyd protesters who have turned to rioting across the country on Saturday, saying he would not allow them to dominate. Now, again, I understand, but it's ratchet up rhetoric that I'm very concerned with. When you say that the protesters have turned violent, see, I don't believe that. I believe we need to intelligently say, who are the peaceful protesters who are relying on their First Amendment to peacefully assemble and advocate for a concern they genuinely have versus those who are taking advantage of this situation and weaponizing it into riots and violence and hatred and the destruction of property? We need to separate the two because they're not the same. The guy that peacefully protests because he may be black or whatever else and is saying, look, we can't have this hostility from the police. It's a legitimate gripe and concern. You can't mix that with a guy that's literally looting and destroying and burning cars and committing violence and hitting people in the back of the head with baseball bats, as we've seen. Those two people aren't the same. So let's not have headlines that say George Floyd protesters who have turned to rioting. Okay, I don't believe that. Now, are there some that may have? Sure. But they've become criminals. They're not protesters anymore at all. Okay? We need to be very clear. The difference between criminals and peaceful protesters. There is a difference. Let's not lose sight of that reality. I say these are not protesters. They are hostile, violent, criminal thugs. Law enforcement and federal officials are even saying that outside elements from both the far right and far left groups are helping fuel the violent and damaging confrontations across the country. I agree with that. In fact, that's what Donald Trump said back in the day and got criticized big time for that, right? Charlottesville, Virginia, that's what the president said then. He's right then, and they're all right now. It is extremists on both sides of the spectrum that are causing problems. You call them criminals, though. You don't divide into right and left and play games. You say they're criminals. You want to know why? Because they're committing criminal acts. That's why. By the way, insurrection is a rise against government authority. I submit to you these are criminal insurrectionists. They're not protesters. These people that are committing the violence and the death and the destruction of property and everything else. Violent thugs are targeting, for example, Confederate statues in multiple cities. They're involved in graffiti attacks. Famed D.C. monuments are defaced after nights of unrest. Thugs are attacking news reporters. The media's encountering violence now. Gets out of control, folks, and we need to find ways to reduce the anger, reduce the violence, restore peace, and it doesn't help to create ratchet-up language, all right? I think we need to kindly, politely divide those who are peaceful protesting, those who want to freely, peacefully assemble, from those who have criminal intent and are involved in criminal behavior. And on the program yesterday, we talked about several solutions to get that done. We talked about some of these sheriff's departments and police departments deputizing individuals. They don't need to be armed, but they do need to have experience. You know, former police officers, retired police officers, retired security personnel, retired military, veterans, people who would volunteer. Oath Keepers comes to mind as a great group to help. And you could have those people basically on rooftops, relaying information, using night vision, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and noting down by description and et cetera the people who are the problem. And I'm telling you, if a 10,000 person protest, you're going to come up with anywhere from, 20 to 200 to 300 people who are criminals and who may be from out of town and who may be paid provocateurs. You're going to find those who have just taken, got caught up in the moment and turned to looting and things. But you're going to be able to isolate and then communicate to the proper law enforcement officials to literally go in and remove these bad elements from the mix. You can watch the daytime protests and see who's peaceful and who's there. You can open channels of negotiation with local leaders of all groups and say, listen, who's here that you know that does peacefully want to protest versus who don't you know? Who do you think? And you can create a network on the ground. You can create people on rooftops that watch very carefully with all kinds of vision-capable tools and see who the bad actors are. And you can literally surgically remove, I don't mean kill, I mean arrest, those who are causing the trouble. And you can do so night after night after night and get a handle on this very quickly. You can put limited curfews in place. You can do things that can simply stop this stuff immediately. You don't want to say when the looting starts, the shooting starts. You don't want to ratchet it up and make it worse. What you want to do, though, is find out who are really the bad actors. Who truly has good intent that they do peacefully want to assemble and, you know, express their grievance. They have every right to do so. That doesn't mean we should let the criminals and the bad actors go unchecked. Okay, and so I believe there's ways to solve these things. You can have people like Oath Keepers mill within the crowd. They can easily spot the bad apples. Easily spot the bad apples. Okay, there's a lot of ways to accomplish this, and I think a lot of these cities aren't doing what ought to be done. We're going to get into several comments made by several people today about this battle, because I think there's a lot of good advice out there, a lot of good information out there. There's also a lot of concerning information out there. Okay? And the one that I want to start with, believe it or not, is Russell M. Nelson. You say, Sam, who is that? Well, he is the leader of, on this earth, if you will, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's known as the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He is known as the prophet of the same church. And he is a very wise man with some counsel. He went off on social media, and his comments are brilliant. We'll talk about them, along with many others, in seconds on your radio.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So we need a serious effort to have the media not call violent thugs protesters, okay? Protesters are not going violent and turning into thugs. Criminals are. But they're a different group than the protesters, and we need to learn who's who very quickly and not lump them all together, first of all. Secondly, we need to use all efforts to peacefully find out who the bad guys are and politely, quietly, without fanfare, remove them from these peaceful protests. And I think curfews are a great way to do some of this. You would say, well, Sam, what about constitutional rights? Look, when you literally have insurrections like this all over the country that are violent, that are destroying property, that are at some point you've got to take some action. However, I don't believe the rhetoric of let's just, you know, when the looting starts, the shooting starts, or everybody's weak, you know, you got to crack down hard, let's bring in the military. I think that's those are ratchet up statements that have no place at this point. And why do I say that? Because there are ways to solve this. And believe it or not, you can look at the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for guidance on this. You can go to war. A declaration of war is very hard to obtain and very, very, very ratchet up. You know, sometimes it's necessary, but very rare. On the other hand, there are market reprisals. There are other constitutional efforts that fall short of war that literally can strategically and surgically solve a lot of problems in ways that aren't so bold and in-your-face and catastrophic. I apply the same principles here and say, you know what, let's be the peacemakers. Being a peacemaker, following the Prince of Peace, is not a weak stance. In fact, I believe it's the most humble, strongest stance you can take. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about several comments from several people about this to kind of help highlight the point being made here. And one of the leaders that I believe is who has made the biggest, clearest, boldest, humblest, leading with love style statement about this is Russell M. Nelson. He's a prophet of God to the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He is the earthly leader of the church as well. Now, understand that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints believes that Jesus Christ is the leader of the church, and the prophets, seers, and revelators are mouthpiece for the Lord through the chief prophet, if you will, the president of the church, Russell M. Nelson, today. So Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints jumped on social media and made some very bold, clear, in my opinion, reality check statements, if you will. Whether you're a member of the church or not is not relevant. What is relevant right this second is that you listen to his words and that you think about them. And hopefully you, as I do, agree with them. Here's what he had to say. He shares his social post about racism. And he calls for respect of human dignity. Amen's all I gotta say. Here's what he says. He reminds of the Creator's call for each of us to abandon attitudes of prejudice against any group or individual. Amen. Amen to that. We're all God's children. Let's act like it. That's my less than articulate way to kind of say what he said, right? He says, we join with many throughout this nation and around the world who are deeply saddened. Amen again. At recent evidences of racism and a blatant disregard for human life. Amen again. We abhor the reality that some would deny others respect and the most basic of freedoms because of the color of his or her skin. Amen again. We are also saddened when these assaults on human dignity lead to escalating violence and unrest. The Creator of us all calls on each of us to abandon attitudes of prejudice against any group of God's children. Any of us who has prejudice towards another race needs to repent. Amen. Let me repeat that line. Any of us who has prejudice towards another race needs to repent. During the Savior's earthly mission, he constantly ministered to those who were excluded, marginalized, judged, overlooked, abused, and discounted. As his followers, can we do anything less? The answer is no. We believe in freedom, kindness, and fairness for all of God's children. Let us be clear. We are brothers and sisters, each of us a child of a loving Father in heaven. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, invites all to come unto him. Black and white, bond and free, male and female. And then he gives you the reference for that statement, which is in the Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. It comes from a book called Second Nephi, which is, I guess it's 26 is the chapter, 33 is the verse. So it's in that book, the Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. It behooves each of us to do whatever we can within our spheres of influence to preserve the dignity and respect that every son and daughter of God deserves. Any nation can only be as great as its people. That requires citizens to cultivate a moral compass that helps them distinguish between right and wrong. Illegal acts such as looting, defacing, or destroying public or private property cannot be tolerated. Never has one wrong been corrected by a second wrong. Evil has never been resolved by more evil. We need to foster our faith in the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. We need to foster a fundamental respect for the human dignity of every human soul, regardless of their color, creed, or cause. And we need to work tirelessly to build bridges of understanding rather than creating walls of segregation. I plead with us, says President Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, I plead with us to work together for peace, for mutual respect, and for an outpouring of love for all of God's children. There's his statement. I find his statement to be as spot on as you can get. Just imagine if the President of the United States, President Donald John Trump, were to retweet, were to post on Facebook the incredibly wise, brilliant, in my humble opinion, and blessed comments of Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Not because I want to promote the church per se, although I happen to be a member of that church, so I'm fine with that. I'm just making a point that, look, wise words of wisdom, when shared, in my opinion, should be echoed around the world. And this is what I would plead for in this difficult time that we face. I would plead for language that builds bridges, languages that de-escalates, language that brings about hope, language that appeals to our godly heritage, language that inspires and encourages and builds unity, stability, and safety for all. Those are just some of my words and thoughts as I read this. And so I'm going to be fairly critical of the ratcheted up nature. I get that you say we've got to be bold and not let them run all over us. I understand. But I think leading with kindness and love and peace and humility and is probably the better part. That doesn't mean we're weak because we want to be kind and gentle and de-escalate. I believe that's the greatest position of strength. All right, before we go to some of the comments from different people that you have, Kurt, do you have any comments on this? Hopefully I articulated it well enough.
Yeah, I think you covered it very well, Sam. And I think it's very well said and, you know, basically what needs to be understood.
That's what I think. Mm-hmm. I plead with us, is his final line, Kurt. I plead with us to work together for peace, for mutual respect, and for an outpouring of love for all of God's children. All right, Family Research Council has a headline that says, what we need is hope. Amen to that point as well. Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt's got that and comments from President Trump and more. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump threatening military action across the nation to prevent George Floyd protests from turning into violence and rioting. Late yesterday in the White House Rose Garden, the president said if governors and local police can't do it, he'll send in troops and quickly solve the problem for them. As tense protests were building not far away, Trump also said,
I am also taking swift and decisive action to protect our great capital, Washington, D.C. What happened in this city last night was a total disgrace.
A short time after he spoke, Washington's curfew took effect and military helicopters hovered low above protesters in what some witnesses and journalists called an intimidating show of force. The wife of the fired Minneapolis cop charged in the death of George Floyd has filed for divorce. And this is USA Radio News.
So I don't know if you saw this, but there was just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors out of all the things to worry about is paying for health care. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The death of George Floyd and the violence it has sparked across America, prompting Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to say on the Senate floor that it's a time of great pain and unrest in America.
In no world whatsoever should arresting a man for an alleged minor infraction involve a police officer putting his knee on a man's neck for 9 minutes while he cries out, I can't breathe.
McConnell saying the truth must emerge concerning Floyd's death, followed by swift justice under the law, but he argued that peaceful protests must not be overtaken by violence. St. Louis police say four officers are now being treated for injuries after they were shot overnight during another night of protests there. Gun sales on the rise amid the protests over the killing of Floyd, as well as COVID-19 restrictions. The firm Small Arms Analytics and Forecasting says over 1.7 million guns were sold in May, an 80% jump over a year earlier. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, what we need is hope. Amen to that. Family Research Council speaking out boldly and directly as well, Kurt.
Yep, Mr. Tony Perkins reads, when the sun broke over Washington, D.C., in a cloudless blue sky, it was hard to believe it was the same city where I had to navigate barricades and riot police as I made my way to our office. The fires that blazed up and down the National Mall were finally out, leaving one charred reminder after another of the carnage. Pieces of history like St. John's Church either went up in flames or were shattered into a thousand glassy pieces on sidewalks that were no longer places where presidents walked, but war zones. Chelsea, let's see. It says Chelsea Mitchell finally beats her. Well, that's a separate thing, but do you want to go on with this one?
Sure.
Do you want more of it? Anyway, then he says, but dawn brought something else too, a realization that America is in a very broken place. On a beautiful June day, what people noticed at first light wasn't the quiet warmth or the marble monuments, but the ugly words scrawled in fury across the city's most sacred places. At the Lincoln Memorial, where Martin Luther King Jr. stared out across an ocean of peaceful protesters and urged, we must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. Rioters claiming to want that same justice splashed black paint along the steps. It was an act of cowardice in a monument to healing, a disgrace to the man who looked out over that pool and had a very different vision than the reflection we see today. Again and again, Reverend King's words rang out, "We must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force." 57 years later, we've abandoned the idea of change through peace. We want change through revenge. These weren't activists. Pastor Jonathan Tremaine Thomas shook his head. They were anarchists. And in cities all across this country, they want us to believe that the way to avenge a horrific death like George Floyd's is to turn that same violence on others. But even in a nation as torn and hurting as ours, there are powerful moments breaking through the chaos to remind us darkness will not have the last word. In Miami, pictures surfaced of protesters and police kneeling as one to pray.
All right, let me stop you right there. I want you to continue, but I want to highlight this. What did you just say? Repeat that last line, because I believe this is one of the great overlooked solutions, Kurt. Say that again.
In Miami, pictures surfaced of protesters and police kneeling as one to pray.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if that's what we need, that's the message of hope right there. That is the example that I want to see. They didn't say criminal thugs that are burning cars were kneeling down. They said protesters. You know what? And I get the protesters' frustration. We cannot have cops out of control like this. We can't have people out of control like this. Okay? This is a joint effort to uphold the rule of law and to turn to God Almighty for peace. And President Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints talking about it. You've got Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, talking about it. And then you've got police and protesters working together to pray to God. Kurt, nothing but good can come from that kind of stuff. That isn't a weak view, Kurt. In my opinion, it's the strongest stance we can take, sir. Go ahead and continue. I don't mean to derail it.
It makes you think of that old phrase where they say that a man or woman is never taller than when they're kneeling to pray. Huh?
Yeah.
Anyway,
great point.
Goes on and says, thousands of miles away in Portland, someone caught a video of the same solidarity where men and women in riot gear got down on their knees in a gesture of understanding and respect. Some of the footage was emotional, like the Shreveport officer consoling a man in tears, or the pockets of believers standing in the middle of the mayhem, praying as the tear gas fired into crowds, places where men and women came to Christ despite the unrest swirling around them. There were the views from the pews where congregations were together again for the first time, a reminder of God's perfect timing at a point of true desperation, with our nation at a breaking point. Americans sat in synagogues and sanctuaries, seeking solace from the turmoil and grief racking our country. Pray, urged Franklin Graham, for peace, perspective, and patience. Some, like the rector of St. John's Church, prayed for protection, not realizing that later that night, flames would engulf the nursery of the building that's welcomed every president since James Madison. None of this, its pastor wrote, after seeing the devastation, changes our purpose to be an instrument for God's work through all of this. In fact, now, more than ever, these are storms that America has weathered before, but never with our backs so broken by sickness, death, and uncertainty. The businesses that woke up this morning to looted shelves and floors were already hurting. The communities angered by George Floyd's death aren't just grieving his loss, but of tens of thousands others gone to coronavirus. 40 million people have time to flood the streets because they're out of work and out of hope. There is suffering everywhere we turn. We don't need more pain. What we need is more hope. Violence never brings permanent peace, Dr. King warned. It solves no social problem. It merely creates new and more complicated ones. It seeks to humiliate rather than win understanding. It seeks to annihilate rather than convert. It thrives on hatred rather than love. The heart of the matter, as Dr. Ben Carson once said, is the matter of the heart. Maybe it's time we step back as a nation and considered what's happened since we removed the spiritual foundation that's anchored this country from its cradle. The same foundation that teaches us human beings are intrinsically valuable, not because of who they are, or where they live, or what color their skin is, but because they carry the image of God. If Americans are content with riots in our streets and everyone doing what's right in their own eyes, then by all means, let's stay this course. Otherwise, a return to hope starts with a return to God, in whose name we pledge our country and our future. Well, there you go, Sam.
Very similar comments, Kurt. Different wording slightly, different reference points, different experiences. But you've got Tony Perkins and Ben Carson and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints President Russell M. Nelson, and really speaking a lot of the same things, Kurt. It's interesting. You got Ben Carson, a surgeon, and you got Russell M. Nelson, a well-known, both of them well-known, renowned, worldwide renowned surgeons and stuff like that, led by surgeons and religious leaders saying, listen, we've got to have hope here. We've got to have peace. We've got to settle this down. We've got to de-escalate. We don't need increased rhetoric here. We don't need to ratchet it up. Well, while that's going on, sadly, President Trump is trying to find his footing on this, in my opinion. And I say sadly because I think that he needs to turn to folks like President Russell M. Nelson of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and Tony Perkins. And he needs to listen to the religious leaders like Tony Perkins and people like Ben Carson and others. But as Trump struggles to find his footing, I'm reminded of saying things like this. Illegal acts such as looting, defacing, or destroying public or private property cannot be tolerated. Now, that's what Russell M. Nelson says. And I think that's a bold statement that's right. All right? He said, any of us who have prejudice towards another race needs to repent. I would say that's as bold of language as you can get, Kurt. It's not, you know, soft language. It's very direct language. But it's loving language all the same. Never has one wrong been corrected by a second wrong. Evil has never been resolved by more evil. Okay, this is pretty bold talk. But it's humble, led with love talk as well. I plead with us to work together for peace, for mutual respect, and for an outpouring of love for all of God's children. Then Tony Perkins, what we need is hope. Family Research Council, FRC.org, doing a great job. Now police and protesters kneel jointly to pray. What a great example. Leading with love, leading by example, leadership being shown. Let's embrace it. Let's talk about President Trump now, coming up. We hope to influence him for good.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, so I saw headlines from USA Today and other places, and they've got statements from President Trump. You hear them on the mainstream press. You even hear sound bites from the president. And it differs quite a bit from what I'm hearing from a lot of these religious leaders that I'm suggesting have the answers. And I'm submitting to you that there are answers. And when police and protesters kneel jointly to pray, I think that's a phenomenal example. That isn't the criminal thugs doing that. They're rioting and killing and plundering. But the peaceful protesters are willing to open dialogue with the police. And the wise police officers are doing the same. And I commend them for their leadership. I know some would say it's weak, but I completely disagree. Okay, I say that it is the way forward. De-escalation, kindness, love, patience, respect. All right. Anyway, here's the headline from USA Today. There's two of them. Trump tells governors, most of you are weak. Wow, that's a good way to kick off cooperation, isn't it? Trump tells states he could send in the military. USA Today. I don't believe we should send in the military, by the way. I think that's the wrong answer. I think that just ratchets it up. So I always want to do what Kurt recommends, and he recommends going straight to the White House for their input and for what they say and for what Trump really says, because I think that Kurt's right. That's the pure source. Rather than hearing from the mainstream press, let's hear from the President of the United States. So we went to the White House, and we got the statements. I think it relates to President Trump's addressing the nation last night, right, Kurt?
As far as I can tell, that's right.
Yeah, all right. So let's hear from the president directly.
It says, my administration is fully committed that for George and his family, justice will be served. He will not have died in vain, but we cannot allow the righteous cries of peaceful protesters to be drowned out by an angry mob. Innocent people have been savagely beaten, like the young man in Dallas, Texas, who was left dying on the street, or the woman in upstate New York viciously attacked by dangerous thugs. Small business owners have seen their dreams utterly destroyed. New York's finest have been hit in the face with bricks. Brave nurses who have battled the virus are afraid to leave their homes. A police precinct station has been overrun. Here in the nation's capital, the Lincoln Memorial and the World War II Memorial have been vandalized. One of our most historic churches was set ablaze. A federal officer in California, an African-American enforcement hero, was shot and killed. These are not acts of peaceful protests. These are acts of domestic terror. Anyway, as far as I can tell, that's the main stuff of it, right?
So, yeah. So here's the point, Kurt. I disagree with, we can bring in the military. And I disagree with running around telling the governors they're weak. But I do agree with what that is from the White House. Kurt, what about you?
It sounded good to me.
Yeah. I think President Trump saying, listen, guys, we cannot tolerate this. We need to really take action to stop it. There is innocence being harmed here. There's private property being destroyed. We cannot tolerate that. And I agree completely with the president's statements. But so the president might be saying what USA Today is saying. I think he is. But I think when you put it in context, you kind of get to understand a little bit more what the president's saying. The president's not saying, hey, kill everybody and let God sort them out. He's saying, governors, you can't be weak. You got to make a stand. You cannot allow this to happen in your communities, and I will help you. Now, I don't really like the idea of bringing in the military to help you, but I do understand the point that you cannot let this civil unrest continue. Then the question only becomes, if we agree on that, that this shall not be tolerated. And even President Nelson said, you know what? This can't be tolerated. All right? And I agree. Illegal acts such as looting, defacing, or destroying public or private property cannot be tolerated. I agree. Okay, so it's okay to have bold speech, but let's make sure the bold speech builds bridges, points to God, points to peace and solutions, and doesn't ratchet up the rhetoric. And I think President Trump, when taken into context, is a whole lot more responsible than the rhetoric. Okay, so why did President Trump say, when the looting starts, the shooting starts? You could say, well, that was his attempt to push for violence. Or was he merely acknowledging a reality as history repeats itself, that that's what was talked about and that's what happened in the 1960s? I agree that's what happened before. And I agree people have the right to defend their homes and their businesses and things like that. I would hope we could all work together for a more peaceful way, though. I would hope we could use some of the solutions that we pointed to on the radio yesterday and some of the solutions that Russell M. Nelson and Ben Carson and others are speaking out about, Tony Perkins and many others, because I believe that's where the solutions are. So, you know what? This is a sad time in America, no doubt about it. But I hope this, along with the coronavirus difficulties and everything else we're facing, the job losses and the economic turmoil and everything that we're facing, I hope this turns us to Almighty God. And I hope this really turns us to kneeling jointly to pray, whether it be physically together or whether it be in your homes or around the nation or in your closets or your businesses or out on the street or wherever you are. I hope we kneel together to pray. What we need is hope. I join the call. I plead with us to work together for peace, for mutual respect, and for an outpouring of love for all of God's children. And I appeal to the president to say, don't let them isolate your comments, my friend. I know they want to manipulate your words and only pick the, what do you want to say, more direct speech that you have. And what they want to do is take it out of context and use it against you, sir. I pray we can work on not sending the military, but sending peaceful people and finding ways. I pointed out several ways on the radio yesterday that we could solve a lot of these things. And I'll give you an example. One of the good things that are coming out of this right now is this. Lawmakers from both sides of the aisle are pushing to stop sending military gear to the police. What we have in America, part of the problem, is we have taught the police that it's okay to just ratchet up, to, hey, take care of business. Now, this gentleman wasn't right to try to pass a $20 bill, wasn't right to be all drunk and problematic, but the cops weren't right to be so aggressive and kill him either. Exactly what happened, I don't know, because I don't know what happened before a lot of the videos were taken. But I know this, we've got a man dead and a man going to prison. Both I'm saddened by. Both I wish never had happened. And going forward, the way we can prevent it from happening is if we have hatred towards others, let's repent. If we feel like there's violence and turmoil and anger and hatred spilling over, let's kneel down and unify and pray. And let's turn to Almighty God. And so out of this, I hope we have less military equipment in the hands of the police. I hope we can teach them to be peace officers. I hope we can learn to create sheriff's posses of deputized unarmed citizens that are the eyes and ears of the police, that we can work together as communities to truly separate the peaceful protesters who genuinely do want to advocate for change in America, which is sorely needed. We need to separate those from the true criminals. And the criminals need to be arrested and tried and prosecuted to the fullest extent of their crimes. And the peaceful protesters need to be encouraged and supported in their genuine desire to advocate for change in the greatest country on the face of the earth. How do we do those things? And I think Ben Carson's pointing to the solutions. Russell M. Nelson is pointing to the correct solutions. You know what? Never has one wrong been corrected by a second wrong. Never has evil been resolved by more evil. Never. What we need is hope, says Tony Perkins at Family Research Council. These are the things that I believe are the answers. And so, President Trump, if you're listening, my friend, I get the bold language to say, look, this won't be tolerated. We've got to hit back harder. We've got to, you know, I understand your point, and you're right, we can't be weak. We need to stop the criminals. There's no doubt about it. But let's not mix the peaceful protesters in with the criminals and paint with such a broad brush. Let's find out who are the peaceful people and support them. Help channel and guide them in ways that are productive and successful and peaceful and law-abiding. And let's advocate for more training for the police and de-escalation tactics. Let's work with the lawmakers to get less military equipment in the hands of police officers. Let's turn them into peace officers. Let's turn to God. I believe God is sending us wake-up calls. From the coronavirus, to the violence in the streets, to the racial divides, to the possible lack of food eventually as a result of this, to the lack of employment, etc., etc. I hope all these things are doing, in my personal opinion, I don't know if I should say what they're designed to do, because I don't have knowledge of that. But I hope that we never let an opportunity go to waste, to borrow the phrase. I hope we use these situations around us to awaken us to our situation, which is desperate, no doubt, but certainly not hopeless. To our situation where, you know what? What we need is hope. What we need is repentance. What we need is to understand that wrong is wrong and right is right. We need to work together for peace, for mutual respect and love for all of God's children. All we need is hope. Police and protesters kneeling jointly, let's all join them. Let's call for another day of fasting and prayer and repentance and hope and faith over fear and trust. And let's think of peaceful ways to work together. Right? Let's work together to help lawmakers stop sending military gear to the police officers. We don't need to ratchet it all up. All right. One last interesting story that I found fascinating is, you know how everybody's wearing masks, Kurt?
Yep.
Now, Brian P. Brooks, do you know who that guy is? He's the acting head of the Office of the Comptroller, the controller of the currency, right, Kurt? He's the new guy that just got put in place. He's coming out boldly and saying he's warning state and local leaders that by requiring masks could help the bank robbers, Kurt. I think he's wise.
Well,
I think he's got point to be considered, my friend.
All these guys doing havoc, you know, are all masked men, and, you know, they're harder to identify when they got their masks on, you know.
Hey, man, that is the point, sir. And I bring it up because I believe it relates to part of the solutions. I'm not so sure that wearing a mask is worth it everywhere. Nightfall and masks are a bad combination for criminals to go rogue. We need to work together, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully this hour has been educational and informative of what's going on in the land and what we need to do about it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. We consider ourselves engaging in solutions radio. Oh, we don't shy away from the problems that we face. We know we live in turbulent times. We know we live in perilous times. We know that it's rough out there. We get it. But we're not going to dwell on that. We're going to acknowledge it, and then we're going to point to ways to make it better. That's who we are, and that's what we do, and that's why we're on your radio. Our goal is to promote God, family, and country. Our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property. Our goal is to follow the Prince of Peace and encourage others to do the same. Our goal is to repent and call for repentance and have faith over fear. By the way, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.